Yes, people, welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast. Destiny's Child.
Day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a pair of Chloe shades and a diamond belly ring.
Welcome back to the Property Strategies Podcast.
Hello.
Got your boy Gokes in the building.
Got your boy Kenny here.
Got your boy Akin in the building.
How you lot doing?
We're getting good, man. We're getting having a good, strong, productive week, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's good, man. I'm just feeling good, man. Happy to be in the studio.
Feeling real
as
good.
Always. As always, man.
Yeah, how has your week actually been? Like, what have you been up to?
You have a lot of fun?
I'm just trying to remember the week quickly. I went theatre this week, which was nice.
What did you watch?
I watched Prince of Egypt.
I watched that.
Yeah? You have as well?
Yeah, a lovely movie. A lovely production, should I say.
Not date. My sister's graduation, so I took care.
Okay.
These guys like to do with me. I don't understand. Like, I'm actually innocent in this life. Like, I'm just trying to do me.
Oh, well.
What was you doing? How was your date night on this week?
I just go on date night, but good try. I was actually working hard.
Okay, cool.
Trying to make money properly. But anyway,
come on, we got someone
special in the building.
Very special.
Do you want to introduce yourself, Radhika?
Yeah, I'm Radhika. really
nice to have you on. As you guys know, we're doing a series at the moment called Women in Property.
Yes, we are.
So you're our number one guest that we've got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're number one guest. Yeah, we've got a lot of people lined up, but you're the first to grace the stage. So
yes.
Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. I guess we're just going to start from the beginning, trying to get a bit of a background. What was your background before property? What was you doing? Did you go to uni? Did you not? And how did you kind of get into what you're doing now?
Yeah.
So going back to when I was 18, I basically didn't get the grades that I wanted. So I took a gap year, retook some of my exams, and then ended up doing a sports science degree, which was just, yeah.
The guy before that we spoke about, that was just there, he'd done the same thing as well.
Oh, really?
Sports science.
And he didn't really use it either, but yeah.
I wanted to do maths and sports science, but I just didn't get the grades to do it. And then I didn't want to take another gap year, so I was just like, oh, let's just stick with sports science and then figure it out. Yeah, and then I didn't want to study anymore. So I kind of just did my last year as and when it was. And then I was trying to look for a job, but then I was traveling. So I spent my summer doing Camp America, came back for a couple of weeks, and then went to Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand.
Backpacking? Wow.
It was like a two-week, organized trip, if that makes sense.
Would you stay in the hostels and stuff, or was it more like...
You could probably call them hostels, but they were like hotels, like really cheap hotels. Really cheap hotels and guest houses. Okay, but cool. Some of the places were nice, some of them were like, okay. And yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I got this crazy, stupid job selling in the streets.
Out in Cambodia.
No. In England.
It went left. It went left out there.
Wow.
In London. Like, you know those people that sell like on the streets, like selling charities and things like that. I was one of those.
I'm a sucker for that, you know.
Yeah.
I was one of those people for about 6 weeks. It was brainwash.
Wow.
Like in the nicest possible way. Like, I learned so much about rejection and like just little things like that and working hard, but I couldn't speak for 3 weeks. I was drinking Danus every single day to try and make myself feel better and get energy, and I just couldn't even speak.
Hourly rate or is it just commission?
No, so you just get commission.
That's hard.
Slavery, basically.
It was like certain age groups get more money, so like the older generation and like pay monthly and stuff like that. I mean, the charities were good, but I just don't understand why they need people to like sell in the streets.
Oh, so the charities
and they spend a lot of money doing it. But yeah, I did that for 6 weeks, and I went out. My friend moved down to London, and we went out on a Sunday and got drunk, obviously. And then I woke up the next day and I was like, I don't want to go in. And I went in there. Sorry, this is like diverting from the whole conversation.
It's all relevant part of the journey.
So I woke up the next day and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And the guy, I waited 2 hours to see the guy, and he did not give me the time of day. The guy who like ran the business or whatever it was, and he didn't give me the time of day. And I was sat there waiting for 2 hours, like trying to speak to him. Mm. He was going up and down, just no acknowledgement whatsoever. So I just walked out and I was like, then I called back this recruiter that I was speaking to before and I was like, I need a proper job. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's how you kind of segued into
what you're doing. I think I worked for 5 or 6 weeks and then stumbled into property through an Instagram post. One of my friends just posted about something and I was like, oh, what's this? Mm. And yeah, just like found out a little bit more about it. Yeah. Started going to like network meetings. Mm. My first network meeting was horrendous.
Why? Yeah. Why was it horrendous?
Well, I was so out of depth. Like it was like full of old men and it was like really awkward. And yeah, I was just sat there like, who is this? And this guy was just like harassing me. He was like, why don't you have a business card? Like, what do you want to do in property? And
I was
like,
about to give a name, but
and he was like, oh, you should like put property.
Was this a popular networking kind of event?
Yeah.
Did you have to pay for the course?
I can try to put, it's just a networking event.
You don't want to give the name. Let's not say the name.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I won't say the name, but like, it was just horrendous. And okay. I was like, this guy's like, he's like, you should have a strategy every time. And I was like, wow. I literally knew about property like
a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Wow.
And the courage that it takes to go to one of these meetings, like it was, yeah. So yeah, then just start learning more about it. Just start doing the online stuff, then YouTube, podcast. I don't even know if podcast was a thing then, but definitely YouTube and watching like online videos and stuff. Okay. And then I just started learning more about it.
Is this someone you learnt from the most, or is this someone you can say that person probably was a big person, or was it just all self-taught, would you say?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Yes, I've paid for a course, but I'll go into that like outside of this podcast.
You can add it if you want. I've had some of my bad stories as well. I've shared on the podcast. But you know.
I'll go into it, but I am part of like this the same one that Alfred's part of. Okay. Now is like this.
Oh, Alfred, cool.
Mastermind.
Yeah. Sorry,
is it Mastermind? What's it called?
It's called Real Life Tribe. Like he's got his own mastermind but it's just a chance for everyone to like connect, ask questions. Cool. Like every Monday there's a mastermind and we just jump on, everyone asks questions and it's open, and I think there's so much value as part of it, and it's not an expensive investment, if that makes sense. Like it's not, I mean, not expensive investment, but like some of these you pay like so much money and it's just the value's not there. Yeah, whereas this is like a cheaper way for people to get in. But I just get so much value out of it. I'm not like trying to sell it to anyone, but I was just like, it's, you can do as much or as little as you want. So
I'm not trying to go into depth of, the situation with the property course, but what would you say was, why didn't you really gain much from it? Would you say it was down to you, what you were sold, or was just the course itself was just rubbish or what?
I was completely naive. I was 23 trying to make it, and I remember going and saying to people like, I'm gonna get this much money, I'm gonna get this many properties, etc. And I was so naive, not even understanding like anything to do with property. I've never bought property, I've never even understood how to buy a property. Like it's complex. No one's been through the process, speaking to mortgage brokers and solicitors and like sending stuff, like it's a complex process if you're not used to it, if you've never done it before. Absolutely. So and understanding like refurbishments and these courses, and I don't want to like give a bad name to them, but they say get as many properties as you can and deal with the problems later. Don't, like, for me that is the number one thing. If I could tell anyone, is that there's no rush to buying and learning through the journey, because you're going to learn so much going through that one property. And this is why, like, me and my business partners, we were like, we want to get 5 properties this year. I just want to buy one a year now, because as you get more properties, it's like, it's so time consuming and so many problems. If one problem happens on each property, like it's a lot of time, like and energy on it, and you have to be on top of everything. So if that was me, like now we're just like trying to buy like maybe 1 or 2 a year, depending on how big the
scaling refurbishment up slowly
is.
Scaling up slowly, like
And I guess it's good to think of it more like on a long-term point of view, because I think for us, when we first started, we were like, I want 5 properties. I want 5 rent-to-rents this year, per year. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you always start like that. And then you realize, I was just rushing. Like, let me pace this out. There's so much time here. I don't need to rush. You know what I'm saying?
But this is the one thing I hate about courses now. And if I could go back and I knew this, it's just that they rush people into knowing it. And it becomes the norm of who can get the most properties in 1 year. And that becomes a norm. And it's not about that. It's not about about how many properties you have, because if they're not paying you or you've got problems with it, that's a liability. Yeah. That's not giving you money every single month. Yes.
And people don't speak about that enough sometimes, I guess.
What's that, sorry?
Some people don't speak about that enough, like the issues and the nightmare stories. It's always about, I've got another 5 properties again. And it's always about how I'm winning as opposed to...
Yeah, people don't really share their story of struggle. Yeah, they just show their winnings or the keys, holding the keys. But people want to know the whole journey.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
How did you get there?
Yeah. So if you take it back again, obviously you're talking about how, you did the course. Were you in full-time work then? Was you...
Yeah. I still work full-time.
You still work full-time? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was working full-time, and I think this is probably one of the reasons why I couldn't make the most of it as well. Like, it definitely wasn't the course or anything, because like you've got to have a level of understanding when you go into something like that. But I was still working full-time. It was a big commitment to keep traveling, learning, going viewing properties. And yeah, it was just... it was hard to balance, and I was burnt out a lot throughout that whole year. I don't want to say I was depressed, but like I was in a really bad place, and it was just so burnt out. I hated everything to the point where I even stopped for a couple of weeks. I was like, do I even want to do property? And I think people need to understand, like, is it something that they want to go into or not?
It's true. Okay, bringing it back again. So, obviously, you've gone through all of that, and then talk us through like your first ever property deal. How did that come about? And just tell us the numbers and what actually happened.
Yeah, so my first deal was pretty easy.
Again?
Wow. Can everyone just look at everyone take a second and look at our kid? Because consecutively, his phone has gone off.
Sorry about that.
I was trying to turn his phone off.
I just can't believe it.
I mean, they're tenants. What can I do?
How dare you?
What can I do?
No filter on this podcast, but how dare you?
No tenants. Sorry, tenants.
You were saying.
If this was them, you didn't even brush this over. But you know,
we're not brushing over. Everyone focus on for a second. That is shameful.
Sorry about that.
Look at the camera.
Sorry, apologize to all the viewers.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, carry on. So your first deal.
So my aunt, who is also my business partner now, two of my aunts are my business partners.
Amazing.
She had an opportunity. She knew someone who was sourcing properties in the north, in Burnley specifically. And she was like, okay, like, we just got to know her. And she basically bought a deal. And there was the exact same deal that was probably like two or three roads across. And I remember going there and viewing it, and it was a cheap entry point compared to other investments. And then just ended up buying it. On paper, it was a good deal. Mm-hmm. Like it was £39,999.
That's how much it cost? My goodness. Wow. How many years ago was this?
Four now, 2018 is well. Yeah, 3 years ago, four years ago.
This is what area are you talking?
Burnley,
okay. Yeah, cool.
And there's still properties like in that price range as well, still. Maybe like 10k more. But the one thing that no one tells you is that you can't get a mortgage. Mm. Well, I knew that you couldn't get a mortgage under 40k, but even if I paid 40k for it and it was still technically mortgageable, you still can't get a mortgage for that.
Totally forgot about that, you know? Like, you can't get a mortgage if something is cheap, if it's under 40K. Yeah. Like,
there's only specific lenders who will lend up to, like, I think under 80K. Because the loan size is so low that they don't want to invest in something like that, which is why no one ever tells you that.
I said no one ever told you that.
So for those kind of properties, you have to pay in cash then?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also had a £20,000 council loan to refurbish the property, which I pay.
Wow.
And it's interest free for 10 years. So it just comes out of my monthly statement, basically. So
just you ain't moved. Dial it back a bit. So obviously you saw the property, £39,000, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Where did you find it, by the way? Just online?
It was a source deal.
Okay, cool.
If you was listening, you would have heard.
I think I saw that on your reel one time. That you got a good property deal from a source deal.
All my deals are source deals.
There you go, people. Cool. So don't be looking at the price thinking, hey, this ain't a good deal. Like, these are source deals for a reason.
Exactly.
You knew about the council loan? What was that about?
It was just this particular lady, Janice. She just helped me throughout the whole process. She was like, I understand why sources source properties, because I know they can't take on if they're finding so many good deals, like not even good deals, but like average deals. Like, they just can't take them all. And plus, you don't want to take on 50 deals in a year. Absolutely. And I understand that why people source properties now. I never knew that from the start. And yeah, she was sourcing it. It was the exact same deal that my aunt literally had done maybe a few, like 2 months earlier. Okay. So anything that she was doing, I was just replicating the process basically. Okay, so yeah.
Has your aunt been in property a while?
Yeah, she had one buy to let like 12, 13 years ago or something, but just never like did much until we were like actively looking, and I was like trying to go into property and she was trying to go into property, and like it's just one of those times where like I'm gonna do it now, and then they started to do it. We were just like, well, we're all doing the same thing, let's help each other. Because I don't think without them I would have been in this position where I am now. And like, not to sound big headed, but I don't think they would have done as much either. So I think
value,
accountability, like everything in it, just us pushing each other, because I know like where we want to go, and we help each other. Because so
you're,
we know
you're exactly almost a driving force then in the team then.
Pardon?
You're the driving force.
No, I'm not the driving force. They 100% are.
Both
but
ways,
like,
both ways.
I think both of us, like all three of us together, just help each other, because we know like if one person slacks, like
it's like us basically.
Because I don't think I would have done it on my own or got this far on my own.
How did you structure the deals as well? Is it a joint venture?
That one,
or is it
that
loan
one
agreement?
Was in my own name. That first one was in my own name.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know why I put it in my own name, because I'm on a tax after pay.
No, with that one, what kind of rental income would you get in, and what kind of profits are you making?
So I turned it into a minimo. So it's a 3-bedroom HMO.
What do you call it? Minimo.
Minimo.
Wow, I've never heard that before.
Get with the terms, bro.
He didn't know as well, by the way.
I did my research. My phone don't go off during the podcast.
He didn't know. That's why you look confused as well. You look confused as well.
Minimo.
Yeah, so a 3-bedroom HMO doesn't need a license or anything. It needs a selective license now, but converted it. So I spent about £25,000 on it to refurbish it, £5,000 for my own money, and then the council loan paid for the rest of it. I still don't know if I'm 100% agreeing with the council loan or not, because it does eat into your profits. And it's like, you've got to pay it over 10 years. And I'm like, should I have just given someone X percent and just paid it off in a year or whatever?
Yeah, got you.
It was.
It's part of the learning process, though, isn't it?
With the council loan, who told you about it, though? Was it part of the package deal, or you found out along the way?
Yeah, she was like, you can go for it if you want to. And I was like, for me, obviously, it made sense. Like, I don't have to find another 20K till 25K to refurbish a property. So, yeah, it was just... Yeah.
I'm just taking notes. And also, sorry, just going to ask as well for the people listening in. The actual sourcing deals that you got, how much were you paying for, a deal? Roughly.
So that one was, and she helped me with all the paperwork and stuff. So she goes, if you want a council loan, I think it was so she said without the council loan, I think it was 3K, because there wasn't much to it. But I think with the council loan, she literally helped with every single paperwork, everything. She literally held my hand on how to buy property with the solicitors, everything. So I paid £5,000 for that.
Yeah, because we've got a lot of people that would want to be hands off completely, or some people who want to be a bit more hands on. So this is for everyone listening in, really. Yeah.
And then what took you from doing the first, that was the first door you did, right?
Yeah.
What took you to doing the second door? What did that look like, and how did you get into that?
So this is when I was doing the course, and I was trying to, and everyone's telling me different things. Everyone's go to North, stay close to London work. I was just so confused, and I remember someone go into rent-to-rent, near me, and Heathrow, service accommodation. I was like, how am I supposed to do rent-to-rent when I'm commuting an hour and a half to go into work every single day? I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't want to. I was so adamant at the start that when I was going into property, I didn't want to be hands-on. I didn't want to look after the lettings. I didn't. And this is one of the reasons why I ruled out rent-to-rent, because I didn't want to be involved. Want to, do all the little things. I just didn't want that. And I was like, if I'm going into a business, I'm doing it for the end goal. And that's what I want to do from the start, not to be in it, running it. Yeah. I don't do much literally, social media is my full-time job for property.
And trust me, we watch your reels. They're amazing. Yeah, you know, when you got really the good. And the things are coming up. That's it. I want to do that, but,
it's really awkward at the start. And you just roll with it. And then I've got, because I think before reels, I only, had, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 followers. And then it just went... as soon as I started doing reels, I don't know why, just like some of them went, I call them mini viral because they're not like millions of views, but like they got, I think one of them got like 100,000 views.
Damn. And
it was like,
crazy.
Yeah. And it was like, it was something silly. Like it was like people telling that like, you can't get a buy-to-let deal as your first deal or something like that. Or like you can't buy a property without getting a buy-to-let, whatever. And it just, and then I like, and just, I don't know, people just associating me as like, me with reels basically. But I haven't really been posting on social media as much as I like was before as well. But I just think coming out of lockdown, going out, and I want to live life as well.
Got a balance both. Exactly. So like we were saying, with the first one, obviously you used that as a minimo. How much was you getting for rental income, and were you happy with that? Was that what you wanted?
And just before you talk about the numbers, we're gonna take a short break.
Just cut me off again.
And then we're going to talk
about the numbers. Guys. Twice in the road now.
In part two. So stay tuned, guys. Thank you very much.
Time up.
Yo people, it's your boy Goke here. Thanks for tuning in to our episode today. Just so you know, we help investors find property in the West Midlands and in London. If you need any help with this or you need more information, please get in contact with us on our website or on our socials. Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Property Strategist Podcast. We're welcome. Here with Radical.
Yes.
And obviously my brothers there, Goke and Kenny. We're having a great time talking to you at the moment. We did want to go back to the first story, right? Because we had to talk numbers.
Kenny cut me off. I was going to say, your minimum, like how much were you getting in rental minimum income, and what kind of profits were you looking at?
So every month was different. Some people were paying, some people weren't.
Not everyone talks about that, you know? People just
Every month.
Yeah.
I think the only time that I actually had consistent cash flow of the same amount coming in was during COVID when we first went into lockdown. Yeah, so every month it was like someone would move out or they wouldn't give you notice, and no one really talks about the high turnover of tenants, and I mean high turnover of tenants. Like people just leave, like they don't care.
For rent to rent, it's crazy.
They didn't give you notice, and it's like now that the whole deposit scheme has changed, and they just don't care, so they'll just leave. And you know, if I was in that position, I'd probably do the same. Like, who cares? Like, do you know, if I was like moving around and things like that, like if you don't have to be stuck in to someone, that's a good thing about renting, is that it's so flexible. You can just leave whenever you want. If it's shit, you just leave. And obviously, if you don't get along with the other two tenants in the house or the other couple, you know, that's galore. So you've got to be really careful of who you put into the properties. Yeah. But I was getting anywhere between, and this is just gross, 700 to about 1,200 a month.
Got it.
On the mini, but that was gross.
Nice.
And I didn't have a mortgage on. I need literally just refinance that property.
Oh, because you've done work up to it. You've done some work to it, didn't you?
Yeah, but this was 3 years ago, so I couldn't. I basically didn't even know this was a thing, but I missed credit card payments, and I didn't know because I never had like standing order set up, and it affected my credit so much. And it still does, like even in the business, like it still affects it.
So it's finding ways to go around it and stuff like that.
But there's no way to go around it apart from just starting from scratch and paying. Just make sure you're paying your monthly like credit cards. And the only reason I got it is because I was trying to boost up my credit. Failed in what I was trying to do, but I couldn't get a mortgage, and the mortgage rates were like really high. Like it was, I think I got quoted like 6% on one of them.
Damn.
6%. And I know everyone's like, "Oh, work your numbers on 6%, but 6%." And then the first time it was like I didn't get the value that it was, and this is another thing I want to talk about, is the NGDB of properties, which I'm now learning. But yeah, I didn't get it. And then I needed the cash to buy the next property. So I was like, I just need to refinance. Got a really shit deal on
just
it.
To get something.
But the timing was really quick for it. So I think I refinanced within like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
That's mad.
I've never heard that before.
That's quick. That's rapid.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't even, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I wasn't listening, but The first deal, how did you save up money? Was it just from work or how did you get money from the first deal?
No, I had zero money. Like when I went to Cambodia,
yeah.
I went with my sister-in-law. I couldn't even pay for my medical bill. Like I ended up going to hospital and I couldn't even pay for it. It was like £800 I needed to pay. I literally couldn't pay anything. And I literally just started, I started work in January and then that completed in October, but my aunts convinced my dad to help me.
So you got a gifted deposit or what was a loan agreement? Or what was it?
I think we said it was a gift, but I'd pay it back. And then he's like, just use it for the next properties. I was like, it's just stuck in the property basically. Yeah. And I was like paying him monthly and, you know.
You see, whenever we say, go to your parents with a PowerPoint presentation, listen, mum, dad, this is what I want to do. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand why it's put in such a bad lighting to get money from your parents.
It's like, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if I was a parent, most of the first time that's my aim. They're funded by bank of mum and dad.
Yeah.
So you know, people frown upon it publicly, but in behind closed doors, everyone does it basically.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that my parents were in that position to help.
Exactly. Like, don't you want to be in that position? I would love to be to get them started ready. Exactly. So
yeah, and I don't know why it seemed really bad to ask your mum and dad, but if your parents can't invest in you, like, if they have the money and they can't invest in you, that's saying something.
That is saying something.
And I'm happy at telling everyone, like, I don't care, like, why would I want to bust my gut to find an investor?
I didn't know, like, that people looked down, like, people had problems with
that. Do you know what it is? People like to say, I did this by myself.
I saved a deposit for 2 years.
I struggled when I didn't need to.
Why? Like, I want an easy lifestyle. I don't care. Exactly. Like, it's not.
I really rate the honesty.
But we live in this age where younger people are becoming richer and they're becoming wealthier. Absolutely. Why is it such a bad thing? Yeah. But I was just grateful. But my dad was so skeptical because he wanted to go into property years and years ago, but he just never did it. And then there's always this like skepticism when you run your own businesses and things like that. Like, it's a risk. And I was just grateful that my aunt was a couple of steps ahead of me like convinced my dad to help me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
So did you refinance the first deal to fund the second deal? How did you fund the second deal again?
So the second deal, we waited, I don't even know how long, but we basically were like, we looked at Burnley, but we were like, the capital appreciation isn't there. Mm. And we were finding out the end values just weren't really there. And it was like, yes, the yields are good and stuff like that. But just, I don't know, it just didn't sit with me. And traveling up there was just a nightmare. Yeah. And I didn't want to go every single weekend, just go and view properties. So we decided to go closer to home. And then we found someone who was in Peterborough and is a builder. And he's got his own portfolio, but he also works with property sources. They do flips and service accommodation, but they were finding really good HMOs. So 3 beds going into 6 beds. We tried to do like 7-8 beds, but we got rejected twice on planning permission. And then we went around it, but then the vendor was just being a nightmare. But I think we had like 6 or 7 deals that fell through. Not fell through, but like we were in the process of buying them. Some of them went through planning, some of them, and we paid for this. Some of them went through solicitors and then just like last minute. So I was bridging this first property off of it. And when I gave him the AIP, the guy was a lessons agency and he was like, he had his own estate agents and he was like, oh shit, I can get 500k for this property for the end value. But that was with 2 properties combined. He didn't understand that. And he was like, oh, let me just turn it into a HMO. And then he basically did that. And then there was like other deals that fell through in between. And then we finally got our first property in the business, which was last year, August.
Okay, amazing.
Nice. Congrats.
So we paid $180,000 for it. Okay. We had an investor, we put in some of our own money. Like when I say we, my aunt did.
I like the honesty.
I was like pretty good. Like every month I was like transferring like whatever money I could. There was like some months that where I'd get good commission and it would be like I would just put in like 2 or 3k in, I would just put in £1,000 here and there and stuff. I didn't actually realise how much money I put into the business either. Until I saw the accounts, I was like, I put in 25k and I was like, how? Like, where do I even get this money from? And yeah, so we paid 180,000 for it. I think we got a development loan on it with our bridge. And
we loan, just to go into that quickly. So you get a bridge and they also give you money to do up the actual refurb too. Okay, got you. Yeah,
so we paid, always read the terms and conditions of this because we thought that we can just submit after every 30K that we use. And so we paid 107,000 for the refurb, but I think in total we only put like 97 on paper. So they only gave us 97K, but we had to, we could only submit it once a month. So whatever we spent in that month, then we could ask for it back. But you still have to go in with some money. Like I think we had to, the first payment was like 30K and you don't get the VAT back.
You can't claim it back?
No. So when you're going through, what's it called? Development finance, whatever it's called. Yeah, they don't give you the VAT back. So any, even if it's 5% that you're paying, you still don't get that. And when you're looking at 100K refurb, you know, that I think we spent about 10K just on VAT. So,
What kind of deal was that though? Was it a free, just standard?
Yeah, so it was a three bed going into a six bed HMO. We extended, you know, under permitted development, we could extend it 3 meters back. And just converted.
What area was this in?
Peterborough.
Peterborough.
Stuff in Burnley, went to Peterborough.
We wanted to make Peterborough work, and the, but now the prices are just...
Just shot up since COVID.
Yeah, it's just, it's really hard to find a good deal, and everyone's doing HMOs in Peterborough, like everyone. Like, anyone that I speak to, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm doing HMOs.
Peterborough, why is that a hot spot?
Why did you pick Peterborough, by the way?
I think it's because of the... like the team that we built there, so the sources, he knew the builder so well, and he's got loads of HMOs, and he's helped other people, and he's got his own nesting agency as well, so it was just kind of like, it made sense, like when someone is in the business, and they've got their own properties, etc.
The power team's there already, basically.
Exactly, and that's what, like, when I was going back to the start, like, that's what I wanted, I wanted to be hands-on, like, trust people, I don't know anything, like, if someone gave me a schedule of work, so I don't,
What's so crazy, though, in that last 5 minutes, you've mentioned so many keywords and big words, and people are probably thinking, what's development finance, this, so you're probably thinking, you know, it's normal to you now, but I think it's because you tapped into that power team. So there is a power in tapping into someone that kind of already in the business, already doing that kind of stuff. Because they kind of introduce you to that stuff, right? They speak that lingo for, you know.
Yeah, and it's like...
They're the experts. Why, I'm not an expert. I don't want to be an expert. Like, it's going to take you years to be an expert.
That's why it's so important to have a good team, like, with you.
I'm the dumbest person. Like, in any team that I work with, I'm literally, like, the dumbest person. So I don't know half the things that are going on. I don't live in day-out property. Like, I'm not there at the property to understand... what's going on. So I need to rely on these people, and this is why it's so key to, like, hiring good teams and paying people what they're worth as well.
Exactly.
Because this property wasn't the cheapest of deals that we were sourced. Like, it was, I think we paid in total 11K for it.
For the sourcing?
Yeah, with project managing. But it kind of included project managing, but we didn't pay project managing on top. If that makes sense. So the refurb was just it. We didn't pay project managing. And people don't touch upon that in your refurbs. People normally ask, I don't know how much people ask, but I think it's like normally 10 to 20% people pay for project managing. But yeah, that's something we saved on, so we didn't mind spending a bit more on the source deal because it kind of included everything as well. So we would have paid that much, or we would have paid more for project managing. Yeah.
No, definitely. This is why I love this series with them, because women are so honest. Like, you lot, us guys sometimes might have to, let us know that I was the dumbest person in the room and stuff like that. So definitely appreciate that.
While we're here, just to touch on it, like, what would you say were your most, I mean, have we finished with the questions?
We've got one more property, but you can...
No. Go with the property and then I'll...
Do you want to speak about the last deal quickly, and then I want to get into the question straight after.
Yeah, so we ended up changing strategies and going into buy-to-lets. Because I still don't know about buy-to-lets and whatever, but I wanted an easier life.
HMOs. Listen, I'm right with you there. I fully agree with you, like, for the time being anyway. Like, I love buy-to-lets.
Pages, and then it was like one of the rooms wasn't renting out, and it's
that
like...
single room, isn't it? It was that single room at the back, wasn't it? That single room that just doesn't rent out. There's always that single room that doesn't rent out.
I don't know if it was studios, because we had 5 studios and one single let. The single let went straight away, and we, I think we marketed it for 476 or something like that, and it went for 525.
What?
Per month, so... Wait, I think single
you marketed it lower and it went for more.
The double room without the studio, like studio, went quickly, and I think those were in demand. But where we were seeing like the studios, there were so many studios out there, so you have to go down in price. So we went down on price quite a bit as well. We didn't get the full rent. To this day, we don't get full rent of what we thought it could get. But
okay, we're happy with it,
but which is fine. Which is fine. So as long as it's renting out right, like you know.
Of course.
If it's the sake of £10 per month, yes, it adds up, but I'd rather it rent.
Got you. And how did you get to your third deal, the Newcastle one? How did that come about?
Yeah, so we were trying to find, so the first lady that sourced me a deal, we're trying to see if we can make something work with her or do something back in Burnley or something like that. And I don't know why, just like nothing was really sticking. And then this lady, Katie, I'd messaged her before and I was like, I was time wasting basically. I was, you know, messaging her, be like, oh, what's this deal and stuff? I don't know you, just whatever. And then when I was like actively looking for a deal and I was like, oh, she posted something. And this is a key about posting stuff on social media. Like, you got to be, you got to remain relevant. People are going to know who you are. And she posted something just about a deal and I was like, oh, what's this? And then made a trip to go and see her, and that's a big commitment for us, is to go drive to Newcastle.
That is
six
trip.
Hours? That's long.
We've done it before.
Yeah, we have.
That's weekend. We've done it before. Back in the day,
weekend. I think we went on Friday night, stayed like somewhere in like York, somewhere near York or something. For like an hour, and then I also saw another property sourcer, but we just didn't, like, we kind of were like, we were going for another deal with them, but the lettings agency was, estate agency was just messing us around. So we just said, we just don't want to, I don't want to participate anymore, basically. So, and then we just like went with this deal, but we just changed strategies because HMOs just take forever. It's so inconsistent. And I think people confuse sell price and GDV on the refinance. And I've learned that. I've only just realized that in the last month when we were refinancing. Because we had a sell price on the Peterborough property. We had a two offers at 425. And when I spoke to Octane, who were
lender.
The lender on the refinance, they were like, all companies, like all lenders, basically take off a certain percentage in case you can't pay it, it gets repossessed, etc. They need to make profit on it, which is completely understandable. So just because they're going on for sale for X amount does not mean you're going to get that on the refinance. And I've only just learned that.
Facts, definitely.
Yeah, I've just learned that now.
A lot of times, the agents that list the property, obviously they're going to put it up a bit higher. They want to make you excited.
Makes sense now.
Definitely, don't.
No, this makes sense. Why things are always coming in a bit lower. Why are you coming in lower? Look at the market price. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Makes sense.
So it's only when I called, my aunt called the lender, and was like, well, I don't understand, because the guy who valued the property said it's worth 425, so why are you only giving us 380? And obviously that affects like investor finance and, if you're not prepared to lose, I think, how much 45k basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not lose it, but like if we were to sell it, we know but we
wanted that.
Obviously, you're going to be shortchanged for your investor finance and things like that. So it's just, something to bear in mind when you are looking for refinancing properties compared to selling properties.
So I was going to ask as well, so have all of your deals that you've got been sourced? Have you? So, like, I guess sourcing is a way that, you know, if you don't want to go through the whole Zoopla, right, move, calling and, you know, things like that, you don't want to have to deal with that side of things. You can just pay for someone who's done all of that for you and just walk into a deal straight away.
People are like, oh, why do you pay money for someone else? It's like, one, because they know estate agents. Mm-hmm. Two, they've built the relationships. They've got marketing involved. Yeah, they know the area. They physically live there. They walk through that area.
Exactly.
In Burnley, if I did not know where to buy or that specific property, there's roads that are blocked off. Like, they've got boarded houses everywhere. There's like crack dens. Like,
damn, and you just saw the price and said, okay.
Exactly. And if I saw that price, if there was other properties that were on sale for like 20 something K.
100%.
But I would you would never invest in that. You would never, if you,
And agents always sell your dreamers when you go on the viewing. This is a great, they can sell it to you. So it's good you tap into the community around there.
Trust me, you do need that local knowledge, because there was a time when 100%. We were looking at Liverpool, one side of the road, was 20K less than the other side of the road. And we were like, what's going on here? Like, this is a deal. And then we asked our auntie Taiwo, we asked her, what's going on here? And then she said, yeah, that other side of the road is where prostitutes live. Like,
exactly.
So it was like, we didn't know that. And that's that local knowledge that you, that's priceless, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going to go into the next question.
To round off.
Yeah, to round off. So obviously, you are a woman in property. And most of the networking events that I've been to, which are very few, by the way, I haven't seen a woman in there, which is crazy. Now that I think about it, I haven't seen a woman in there. So how was it like your journey, you know, being a woman in property? Do you see a lot of other people that are women in property? And has it been difficult? Have you had any challenges? And if so, you know, what were they? And maybe just end with like maybe some advice that you can give other women that are listening on getting into property.
Yeah, I think with social media now, it's a lot easier. At the start, it wasn't, because every woman's success in property was dictated by a male. And there's nothing bad about that, but you wouldn't really see women in property. And if they were, they would be a bit flaky, essentially. Like, you know, and it was hard. Like, I hated going to network meetings, but I knew it was a part of it. Part of the journey to find new people and connect with people. But I think since I started social media, like, it's been a lot easier, and there's a lot of young women in property, which is amazing to see, but you don't really see older women in property, like, especially, I don't know about social media or not, but you don't see it, and it's hard to relate to someone because, you know, everyone is young, they don't have the experience, like, that's, you know, like, some people have, like, 20 years of experience, and you can see that, but in women, like, it's really hard because not,
you haven't really got a mentor or anything like that that you can look up to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not to say like it's bad or not, because I look at people's expertise. Like I don't care if it's a man or woman, but getting into property and learning it. And it's really hard. Like when you're, I was 23 and I was going to network meetings. There was old pervy men sometimes. it's hard. It like, is, you know,
and come to talk to you and flirt with you instead of talking about property. You're probably someone who's talking property and they're trying to.
And you're so naive that you're like, oh shit, this person took an interest, are they going to invest in me?
You don't know what's what, innit?
It's like a sugar daddy more like.
Oh my
god.
You're going to buy a house? This is reality. This is
crazy. I can give you the money.
Yeah, I can give you. But it was really bad, like, and you don't know when people are being real, like trying to like flirt with you.
And this is important because we wouldn't know this. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's important that you speak on this so that other women can hear this and feel
but
like
we put women off.
No, but I mean, reality of
this is why you don't see women at property network meetings because it's full of men and some of not every man but like some men are disgusting
creeps. It's weird though because a lot, obviously I do sourcing, we do sourcing in Birmingham and a lot of, most of the clients actually women so there's a lot of them in it, but when you go to networking events there's not enough of them then because of probably those reasons as well.
But if anyone is, there's like so many people on social media, and like social media is so easy now to like network with other women who are doing property, even if they've got one property. Like everyone's like, everyone does don't think you're experienced if you've got one property, but that experience that you have with one property just changes
everything.
It changes the game, that one experience is it changes it. But it's so easy to reach out to people on social media. There's a lot of people doing like women in property like you guys, and it's just easy to connect with people and listen to people's journeys, and you don't even realize without like, and it's so easy for women to like now be promoted, if that makes sense. Because other than network meetings before social media was a thing, it was hard,
And like, what tips would you give women that do want to get involved in property now?
Or any young people as well, just in general?
Yeah, just immerse yourself in property, speak to people. Like, networking is such a big thing for me, and learning people in property. Like, most of my friends now are like property people. I don't like, I have friends, but
full-time property.
But like most of my like closer friends now are all in property. They do property, and I've learned that like it just changes. And surround yourself with the right people who are doing property, who you can learn from, you know, like there's different areas that you can tap into. Just find out what works for you, but you've just got to immerse yourself and give it the time.
Agreed.
And be patient with it. You don't need to rush to get 50 deals in 1 year.
Yeah, that's
so be deep, patient, man. Learn the journey and enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, like I wasn't enjoying property before. I'm only just starting to enjoy it because I'm being I'm investing less in property, but I'm just trying to enjoy it as well and live life. Like, yeah. No, I'm 27. Yeah. I need to live life.
Let me live life, guys. When I go out, they're always calling me to. Sometimes I want to go out. Yeah.
It was like yesterday.
As long as you you still got to work hard. You still got to work hard.
But work hard. Sometimes, you know.
You've got to work hard, but you also still got to enjoy. Like, there's got to be a fine balance. Like, you still got to enjoy
Balance is quite tough, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, but I guess it depends on everyone's goals, I guess, what you want from life. So
that's what you want.
If you want, you know, this, then you got to act like this. If you want that, you got to act like
See how he's giving me uncle talk right now.
Anyways, thank you so much for coming on.
Before that, could you plug yourself, please? Like, where can people find you and stuff?
We'll find you.
So, yeah, I use Instagram. I started a YouTube channel, but it's horrendous.
No, it's not. I see your videos.
It's such a tough gig.
Like, you know, doing all the different social medias at the same time, man. Yeah. They're like, each is a task in itself.
Literally,
just need someone to just take... Listen, if there's anyone out there listening, you can take anyways. Let's just carry on. So your social medias, where can they find you?
Instagram is radica_allaboutproperty, I think. Mm-hmm. I literally can't remember.
I'm also tagging as well.
We'll tag you, don't worry.
And I just started YouTube, which is just my name, I think. Yeah. So.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
I thank you for being so honest as well, man. You kept it 100.
Yeah.
Which is not always what we hear. I mean, you kept it completely 100. Yeah, we appreciate that.
Let's call this a part one. Definitely want to get an update and just see how things are going on a part two.
Cool. Thank you. Take care, guys. Till next time.
Peace.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not sorry. I like a rainy bubble, yes, yeah.